North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How's everybody doing this morning? We're good? We're good? What do you guys think? Is this going to be a good series?
Yeah.
Something worth talking about, right? We've spent a lot of time kind of theologizing about the nature of who God is, right? But for me, faith is more about the day-to-day. It's about how it is that Jesus can show up in our lives at our workplace, doing the things that we do day-to-day. And really, that's what this series is going to be about. We're going to unpack over the next 5 weeks several different ideas that we're going to kind of start a conversation with. So you saw that we have a book available for you. Again, this isn't a fundraiser for the youth ministry. We make no money off of these things. But we really just want to make sure that you have an opportunity to experience and maximize this time that we're going to be spending talking about how it is that we as God's church can put flesh on the gospel message. How it is that we, as followers of Christ, can be people who help bridge gaps in people's faith life, right? How many of you guys with me understand that this world can throw some stuff at you that'll make you question everything, right? That we're on this journey called faith, and that Jesus did everything that we needed him to do in order for us to keep our faith, to grow strong in our faith, and to live out our faith in a way that's tangible to others. And I apologize up front because Hugh's going to be with us March, I think it's 7th and 8th. And Hugh's the kind of guy who's got a lot of prophet in him and a lot of apostle in him. So if you've ever been around these types, they tend to just kind of walk up, poke you in the eye with the truth, and smile graciously. And you can see a little bit of that, how he pushes the envelope, even with the video promo that we did. But that's part of what I respect about Hugh. Is that he has the candor and the understanding that the reality that we all face in this world is that we're not winning our culture right now. In fact, 80 years ago, they say that 80% of the culture that we live amongst here in America had an understanding of what the gospel was, had an understanding of what it meant to be a born-again believer of Christ, and really identified themselves as such. Okay, currently, we're between 20 and 25% of the culture that we're a part of. And Hugh and several other scholars that he follows are identifying that the church is currently on pace to have about 10% who are part of our culture by 2020. It's not that far away, is it, guys? It's not. And so that's why we're talking about this. How can we explore a faith journey? How can we talk about how to put flesh on? How can we talk about a way that we really live out the gospel message in our day-to-day lives? And so I get the privilege this morning of talking about incarnation, which to me is the piece that sets up the rest of our journey for the next weeks, because it's really all about God taking the time to step off of the throne and put a foot on the ground here on earth, right? In the church, we tend to celebrate Christmas. Yeah, God came, right? We tend to celebrate Easter. Yeah, God was risen. And we don't talk at length, or at least in depth, about how that affects our day-to-day lives. How many of you guys, like me, know that the only way we stay strong in our faith life is to have incarnational moments with Christ? For those of you who don't understand the word incarnation, the Bible says that it was God putting himself in the flesh. It was him coming to us. It was the personification of the story of him chasing down the wayward son, right? That I'm coming to you. The minute you look back, I'm here for you, right? Incarnation is about how it is that we unwrap Jesus, all this theology, all this spirituality, all of our religious and rhetoric that we can use in church sometimes, and we talk back about the relationship that he offers. And more than that, we exemplify the love, the grace, the care that he has for people that don't know him yet. The reason I share those statistics isn't because I wanted to make you all sad. I share those statistics because each and every person who rejects this message are people that we love, right? They're our coworkers, they're our family members, they're our neighbors. They're people that Jesus incarnated himself so that we could carry and bear that message in this world. So we're going to talk about incarnation, what it means for Jesus to show up, what it means for Jesus to move into our neighborhood, right? And then The premise of the book, the premise of the series that we're going to be talking about, is that incarnation will lead to a reputation, right? That a reputation leads to a conversation. Conversation leads to a confrontation with who Jesus says he is and who he says we are, right? And ultimately, on the other side of that, we see transformation, right? How many of you guys just want to start with transformation in your life? Jesus, I accepted you. Everything should be perfect now. Right? Come on. It's true. We live that way. I prayed that prayer. What? Right? It's about a series of events of God showing up and incarnating himself in our lives. That's why we have the rhythm of church. That's why we pray. That's why we get into the scriptures, because I need a touch from God every single day. I need him to lead me and guide me in a way that's tangible, in a way that I can, that you know, has street cred, right? Half the reason we're struggling in our culture is because the church has lost some street credibility. Because it became about a rhetoric, it became about an event, it became about, you know, a show, and less about the day-to-day connection points with people's lives. You know, last week after the service, I went and did some grocery shopping. So just so you guys know, I'm a good husband. I was at Albertsons, had my list on my phone. You know, I'm driving home, and I'm kind of pushing my cart around, and I almost run into somebody. And it ends up being a guy that I played football with back in the day. And we just get into a conversation. We start talking about life and about what's going on. And about 3 minutes into just, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know, he kind of opens up and tells me, you know what? Things haven't been good. He says, I'm looking at 80 to 120 years right now. I'm out on a $100,000 bond, and I don't know kind of what's going on. How many of you guys know that faith matters, right? It's a friend of mine. And so I, in that moment, had the opportunity to embody, incarnate Jesus for him. And instead of preaching at him, saying, oh, brother, you need to quit doing stuff that gets you put in jail. Let me pray for you. I was able to embody Christ. Say, man, you're going to be all right. Future's better than your past. God's got good plans for you. He's not done with you. And how many of you guys know that in those moments, that's the incarnation. In those moments, that's Jesus showing up. And to me, that moment is every bit as important as this one. It's not what we say. It's what we do. Because of what we say and because of who Jesus is in our lives. In this world, we'll have many troubles. But take heart, because he has overcome them, right? That's what faith's about. That's what faith's about. Faith is not a static thing in our lives, is it? Some days I feel like I'm drifting, right? Some stuff happens, and you go, God, man, I can't even really tell what's going on. And there's other days that I just feel so drawn to him that I can't help but celebrate, right? That's really the world we live in. You know, that was just one of the many events that I've had this past week that remind me that Jesus wants to incarnate himself into our day-to-day lives. Had another conversation this week with a guy that's basically, you know, beating me back into shape. It's a guy that I know from the gym, guy that knows the gym way better than I know the gym. And he gets a lot of giggles out of, you know, making the pastor, you know, cry out in pain. Right, but I can tell you that in the moments where I'm not whining, and when I'm not crying, when I'm not, you know, saying, please, can I do just a few less, we're having a conversation. We're having a conversation about how God's moving in his life. We're having a conversation about how it is that we can kind of, you know, give some context to what this whole story of Christianity is about, because we have some life-on-life exposure. And I'm telling you, he's growing like crazy. He's growing like crazy. Had another request this week for a wedding. And so in my first kind of introduction premarital counseling session, you know, I come in and I just kind of tell him, hey, this is what I do. This is what the ceremony is about. This is what I believe the Bible says about marriage and about our relationship with each other. And that's kind of how I roll. I said, so tell me, what's it like for you? Tell me about your spiritual journey. And they began to open up. And one of them saying, you know, I was raised a Methodist. He now works a special force or a special gang unit in Denver PD. And he's saying, but somewhere along the way, I can't connect. the things I see on a day-to-day basis with what I've been taught from the church. How many of you guys know that it's possible for us to incarnate the message of the gospel while still giving honor to people's spiritual journey? Yeah. The gal in that same conversation begins to open up and saying, yeah, I was raised Catholic, so I get the whole religion thing. Says, but then I spent some time in Thailand, and I saw how they do things there. And then I found yoga, and yoga, man, that's my thing. How many of you guys know that we can like yoga, but we can still serve God, right? But my job in that isn't to correct theology. My job in that isn't to proselytize or convert them or just go straight to the truth, because the church tries to do that, don't we? Instead of giving them the relationship, the flesh-on-flesh interaction, we just go, nope, this is what it says. You should be that way. Deal with it, right? Who wants to come to a party with people on their hands on their hips, right? Better stop that. Before it gets stuck, right? Truth of the matter is, the church's reputation in today's society is that we're starchy, that we don't care about the people in our communities, and that we like to do a lot of show but not much go. I don't think that's particularly true about this congregation, but that's the overall reputation that we have. The way we change that reputation is that we come, we get charged up, and we live it out day in and day out. That's what it's about, taking this experience of Christ incarnating himself into our lives. Those moments where we know he shows up in a need that we have, and celebrating those with those that are along in the walk with us, right? That God knew that there were three things about incarnation that we needed to know. One, that it's personal. That he didn't just come to save the world, he came to save you. He came to save me. That's a personal experience. Two, that it's providential, right? That there's a reason he had to go out of his way to help us find our way. Right? And that's that sin thing, right? Anybody with me today that you'd admit, don't raise your hand, don't look at anybody next to you, that we all have a propensity to blow it sometimes, to have bad attitudes, bad thoughts. Yeah, right? We needed him to deal with our sin, and we need him to do it every day from here forward, right? It's what communion was all about. That's what we're talking about. Third thing we're going to talk about today is that it's not just personal, it's not just providential, but it's purposeful. That Jesus actually told his disciples in a moment where they were all freaking out and kind of wetting themselves because they felt the pressure coming, right? Oh my gosh, they're going to come get Jesus. They're on their way. What are we going to do? Jesus, run, hide. And Jesus says, no, it's better that I go away. What? No, it's better that you stay, right? That's what the disciples are thinking. But he knew that the game plan, he knew that the purpose of his life was to take away the sin of mankind. He knew that it was better that he would go away so that he could deliver his power, his spiritual strength to millions and millions and millions of people across the world. And that the way that he delivers that to others is through the participation of his body, the church, right? So I'm getting way, way out ahead of myself. But today I'm here to celebrate the fact that the incarnation means that grace and truth showed up in a human body. And that because he did that, we can experience grace and truth in a perfect, perfect way. And that for the rest of our lives, we get the opportunity, we get the privilege of figuring out how to walk in grace and truth with people. We get the privilege of being those moments of hope in people's lives. We get the privilege of representing his kingdom, his heart, and his very life to a world that desperately needs a touch from God right now. So let's go ahead and pray. We're going to jump into the scriptures now that we're halfway through the message. How about that? Father, we thank you that your heart for us is overwhelming. That the love that you have for mankind, the love that you have for people, your creation, it's so powerful, it's so strong, and yet sometimes we miss it altogether. So today as we look in your word, Lord, I pray that you would do that, Lord. You would incarnate yourself in the lives of our people. Father, you would show up in a real and a tangible way, in a way that only they know that you could do. And Father, we make it our heart to embody incarnation, to be the church that knows that because you live the way you did, we are to live in a way that represents you in this world. Father, help us to do that with excellence. Lord, help us to not just be people of rhetoric, not just people who go to church once a week, people that are on mission from you, and that you meet our needs and you meet the needs of those in our lives as we hear your Holy Spirit and we walk this thing out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So let's open our Bibles. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 is going to be kind of the main text for our next five-week journey, the next set of conversations we're going to be having. And John basically writes this. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." Verse 14, this is kind of where it's all going to land for us in these next weeks. It says that the Word became flesh. That's that incarnation moment, right? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that a good definition for incarnation? Full of grace and truth. That the whole idea behind us in our faith life is that we're growing in the ability to find that balance point between grace and truth. That we're able to exemplify that. We're able to do that better each and every day because he did everything that we needed him to make it possible in our lives. So this isn't a message about trying harder, being better, acting nicer. It's about getting incarnation from God, having him show up so that we have it in our tank, so we've soaked in him so we can express the life of Christ to others, right? That's the mission that we're on. How many of you guys remember a little phenomenon from a few years back called the WWJD movement? Raise them if you got them, right? Got to admit, I wore one. I think overall it was a good thing. It helped people remember that, you know, Jesus actually cares about how we live our lives. That he would live it a certain way, and he wants us to be reflective, introspective, and thoughtful about how we live our lives, right? But I also believe that the incarnation is a whole lot bigger than just the incarnation would be reduced down to an accessory, right? Or a bracelet. Oh, I see you got yours. You got yours, right? Or even for that matter, just intellectual exercise, right? It's that we would incarnate, that his Holy Spirit would be so a part of our lives that people would have a hard time not noticing. Right? How many of you guys have had people like that in your lives? How many of you guys know that God didn't just show up in a flashbang in your life? Boom! You're saved, right? And our language always says, "You saved me, you saved me." He did, but he's saving us still. He's still active. The idea of what God does in our lives, the idea of faith, is that it's dynamic, and that it's moving forward, and it's growing, and it's more and more we're learning how to be transformed into his image. Amen? So Apostle Paul says it this way, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." It's that incarnation, right? It's the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. It says, "So I live this on this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The incarnation is all about a grand introduction into human history. It's about the living God caring so much that he shows up to help a world who's carrying the scars of sin in their lives, right? It's him showing up in a way that's tangible, in a way that makes a difference. It's about Jesus becoming not just in the flesh in history, but in the flesh in our story, right? That's what this series is going to be about. That's what we want to see happen, is that people would be able to see past all of the things they believe about church, and they would see somebody who cares. They would see somebody who loves them as Jesus loves them. And when we're faithful to do that, we begin to develop credibility with people, emotional and spiritual credibility. And when that happens, then their reputation starts to change, right? They start saying, "Well, I don't believe in this whole religion thing. Organized religion, it's bad. But that person, I get them. They get me. They care about me. And they're part of the church," right? You know, as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of a time when we had Cameron. She's about 4 years old. We were in Missouri at one of the theme parks out there, Silver Dollar City. I don't know if anybody's ever been to there. But that place has a way of getting packed like not many places. I mean, it's almost like you can't even breathe. It's just that packed, trying to walk from ride to ride. Part of it is it's not on a lot of acreage, and a whole lot of people like to go there. But Cameron was about 4 years old, and we were trying to make our way from the kiddie rides to some of the bigger rides. And it was just one of those moments where, as a dad, I'm kind of looking out for my four-year-old, right? Afraid she's going to get trampled down. And we're sitting there, and she's more, excited about the next ride we're going to be on than she is about staying protected, right? That she's kind of getting pulled out into some of the waves of people. And, a couple of times pulled her back, said, "Honey, you got to stay close to us. You got to hold mommy and daddy's hand because there's a lot of people here, right?" And so a little bit later, it actually happens. She kind of lets go of Jody's hand, and a crowd of people are going that way, and she starts walking with them thinking she's with us. And the whole time I'm able to see her, so she's safe. She's still in my sight. But she gets far enough away that she realizes that, I'm lost now. And she's stuck, and you can kind of see her starting to panic and looking around, looking up at people's faces. People are whizzing by her. And about that time, I had the opportunity to show up, to grab her hand and bring her back to a place that was safe for her. You guys know that's a lot of what we do in the church, that we should be a place that's safe, a place that brings honor to people's spiritual journey, that lends them an ear, that provides care, that shows up in their lives. That's what we want to be about. And if we're going to do that, there's three things I believe we need to be aware of. Number one, is simply this, that God came wrapped in the flesh so that we could live in him. Not just as a way of thinking, but as an actual way of living. So the incarnation is not just for humankind, it's for us as individuals. That he cared so much, not about the world, but about me, about you, that he died for us personally. That the incarnation is about God wanting to be in relationship with you and I. I want you to just take a minute and think about your last week. Think about all the things, all the pressures, all the challenges, all the things going on. And think about the idea that before this whole sin thing came charging into the world, God's perfect plan was that we would be in perfect relationship with him. That's what Jesus did for us. That's where God wants us to live. That's that sweet spot where purpose and provision and protection are all embodied in our relationship with him. John chapter 14, verse 9, I love these little moments in the scriptures where, we tend to spiritualize the people in the Bible, right? Tend to think that they didn't have hard days. We tend to think they didn't make mistakes. We tend to think, that they just did it right because they were the 12, they were the chosen, they were the ones that Jesus brought along with him. But in John chapter 14, verse 9, there's this little point of correction that Jesus is talking with one of his disciples, Philip. He says, "Have I not been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen the Father, or anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." I tell you that's part of how God incarnates himself in my life. It reminds me, hey, Chad, you remember? I'm with you. I'm with you, right? Do you still not know who I am? Do you still not know of what I want to do? Right? But the gospel is good news, not that we can accept Jesus into our lives, but the good news is that Jesus accepted us into his. And that he didn't just tell us about it. He didn't just give us a book. He didn't just, give us some scrolls or a tablet that's way off in the world. He says, "I'm going to make sure that you can have a relationship with me." So my challenge to us as a church, never settle for a church experience. Never just settle for a religion. Never just settle. Because Jesus wants you to know the relationship and the love that he has for you. Amen. Incarnation is personal. Second thing about the incarnation that I think is helpful for us is remembering that the incarnation is providential, that there's a purpose in it, right? That it was heaven sent, and that it's the incarnation is about his relentless pursuit of humankind. See, you and I have a problem sitting here today. But the Bible says that only someone who is sinless can have a relationship with God. Why? Because he's perfect, because he's holy, set apart. He's bigger than we are. Can we at least admit that much in our culture today? God's ways are way more profound than I'll ever hope to be, right? We all have that same problem. And the purpose of Jesus incarnating himself, coming to live on the earth, coming to take away the punishment for the sin in our lives was so that we would live united with God once again. That it's providential. And some of you here today may be saying, you know, Pastor Chad, you know, you say this every week. I get it. I know you're talking about this, that it's important that we live out the gospel. But really, that is what it's about. It's about the reality that we all have a propensity to screw things up in life. And we need those moments of incarnation of Jesus coming in and reminding us that because of what I did for you, you're forgiven. You're loved. Keep pressing in. Because the illustration of Cameron in that theme park, I think, is a reality of what we experience in life sometimes. It's not always sin that pulls us away. We just get swept away in the crowd sometimes. We just get over busy with other things. We forget that the most important relationship that we can have is the one that God's provided for us. That in his providence, right, he set things right with us. The atonement of Jesus, Hugh writes in page 65 of this great book that's available today for anybody who would like to get a copy out in the foyer. It says, the atonement of Jesus is paying for the sins of humanity is the single most important game changer in the history of the universe. Single most important, right? That atonement is something that allows us to come into his presence and be changed. So the second part that I want to say in incarnation is that God loves us so much that he accepted us right where we're at. We hear that a lot in church, don't we? But he loved us so much that he doesn't want to leave us there either, because he knows that our sin has a way of distorting both our perception of him and the lives that we lead, right? That he wants to transform us into his likeness. That he's done everything necessary for us to grow and to become more and more and more like he is in our day-to-day lives. So third thing that I think helps us in understanding the incarnation, really living it out, really taking the time to see him in our workplaces, see him in our relationships, is that we have to remember that the incarnation is purposeful. That really it is, it's our role in this to reflect his glory, to incarnate who he is, the Jesus with skin on, and to activate the good news of the gospel of grace in people's lives. That we would be a people that are known for being full of joy. Everybody smile at me right now. We're almost done, right? We're almost done. Smile. You know that a smile can represent Christ in somebody's life? Have you noticed, as I do, that our culture doesn't like to smile much anymore? You get a lot of mean mugging going on out there, right? One of my favorite ways to witness to people is just smile at them. So what's the matter with that guy? I don't know. He just smiles a lot. It's an expression of God's care and love for people, right? He said, I'm not your enemy. I'm not here to fight you, right? That we can be a people that are known for being full of grace, and it can be as simple as that, smiling at people. I could say that something's different about that guy. Don't know what it is, but there's something different, right? That we can be full of joy, full of grace, full of freedom, and feeling the freedom and release from our human condition. That the idea of us living this thing called faith out is that we're learning how to balance grace and truth. I know I've said that, but I want to reinforce it. Because 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says that those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That sit in for a minute, huh? I like the ones where I get blessed. I like those scriptures, right? But no, the credibility of the church, the credibility of Christianity, the credibility of the movement that Jesus incarnated himself on earth for has to do with us living our lives in the way that Jesus did. And I'm thankful that he doesn't expect that out of the gate, right? That he cultivates as we learn to trust and love him. So let me ask you this question. Hugh made a comment that, you know, when we're doing this well, people want to be at our parties. People want to come to our houses. People want to hang out with us. My question that we all have to live with, we have to wrestle with, we have to find adjustments to not being over-religious to where we basically offend people all the time, right, is simply this. When people see you coming, what do they think? When they see you coming, do they turn and kind of avoid you? Does it say, oh no, here comes Bible thumper dude again? right? You know, when that's our reputation, it probably means that we skipped a couple of the steps before the conversation and, you know, confrontation, right? So the idea is that we're just saying in this next series, we want to get better at this. We want to grow in our ability to influence the world because we know how much Jesus loves them, same the way that he's loved us personally. He personally loves each and every one of them. And one of the greatest ways that we can do that is to simply dignify people's stories, their spiritual journeys. You know, I didn't finish my thought on that story of one of the premarital conversations that I'm doing. Is they told me kind of their journey, their spiritual journey, and then I asked them one simple question. At the end of it, I said, so tell me about your personal relationship with God. You know, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. And I mean, honestly, she about fell off my couch. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Jesus made it possible for every person we run into to have a personal relationship with him. And that is his intention through his church. And that is what we want this church to be about. And we'll begin to find that people care about the message that we share when we share our lives with them, when we're willing to just go be with them, go to a game, hang out, spend time in what I call, common space. Right? Nobody wants to feel like they're a project. I don't. They don't, right? No one wants to feel like the only reason you care about me is because you want to get me to your church so you can do whatever you guys do in there, right? But when we show love to people, there's a natural progression that starts. Incarnation of Christ in their lives builds reputation, leads to a conversation, leads to a confrontation, leads to transformation in their lives. How many of you guys are thankful that God saves us in an instant, but he changes us by little moments of incarnation in our lives every day from that day forward. Amen? And when we do that, then we have authority. Then we can preach as Jesus did, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. He's proclaimed good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. To proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor has come. Then it says that he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Then the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him and said that he began by saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's the privilege of being God's body. That's the privilege of being the church, is that we get to be those that proclaim good news, those that contend and believe and pray for those kind of works in our lives. How many of you guys know that if we don't pray for our friends and our family and our coworkers, and we don't make ourselves available with them, their chances of actually figuring this thing out are diminished, right? Believe that the purpose of the church is that all would come to faith. All would be able to know him, and that is what we're contending for. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. And as we worship, which is our custom of a response time, we've heard a lot of things today. My hope is that in this worship song that you hear God incarnate himself to you. That you hear his still small voice say, I'm still showing up in your life. I'm still right here. Maybe for you, it's just that the Lord would put somebody on your heart. Somebody that you might have relational equity with. Somebody who desperately needs a touch from the Lord. Maybe today, you're just saying, I need Jesus to show up in something. I need him to show up. I've allowed the function of this whole Christianity thing to keep me from the really important part, and that's the relationship with him. So, Father, as we worship you, Lord, we make it our heart's cry that we would be a people who live this out, a people who trust you to show up in the day-to-day in the scary, sometimes difficult conversations we can find ourselves in. And Father, I pray that your heart would be reflected, the heart that died on a cross so that man and woman could be saved from their sin, so that you could be filled, so that you could fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's what we contend for. Lord, remind us this morning as we worship you that incarnation is about a personal relationship with you, that it's a providential piece of our lives, that you set things right on our behalf, and that there's a purpose in it. That you are on mission to reach a world with the love that you have for them. Let's worship, church, and then I'll close. Father, we do. We thank you that we can live this thing from the inside out because you incarnated yourself into human history. Lord, we thank you that you ran to us and that you created a pathway. Lord, you dealt with our sin nature by providing the perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering. And Lord, as a people who clearly identify with the ability to drift, Lord, we know that we can drift from your perfect love, perfect relationship. But Lord, we also know that you are consistently drawing us back to you. And so, Lord, that's our hearts. Pray that we would be a people who are drawn towards you and drawn towards others to express the good news that God has incarnated himself amongst mankind, that he has got good plans and a good future for every single person in this world. And maybe today you just say, Pastor Chad, you know, you've talked a lot about this relationship. I don't know that I have it. I don't know that I know Jesus as personally as you're talking about. If that's you here today, I'd ask that you just kind of raise your hand this morning and promise never to embarrass you, never to point you out, never to make a spectacle of you. But by raising your hand, you're basically saying, I'm taking a step towards you, Lord. I want to know more about this thing called Christianity. I want to understand what it means to have the perfect relationship that you offer. Anybody this morning want to make that decision? Yeah, I see you, man. Glad to hear that. I see you. I see you. Yes, sir. God bless you. It's great. I see you, sir. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we do thank you that the first step is always you running to us. The second step is that we would acknowledge it, that we need you, that we love you, and that because you died on that cross and was risen from the grave, we can experience new life. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out new life through these people, through this church, and Father, that our lives would be filled with "and then God showed up" stories. That we would see you incarnate the circumstances of our lives. That we'd be honest enough and irreligious enough to admit that there are hard times while we're here, but that you overcome them all. Father, be an overcomer in our life. Help us to be people that help others overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.